1 John, right before the little book of Jude. I'd like to say a few things this morning on this Father's Day out of 1 John chapter number 2. If you're able and can, let's all stand together and honor the reading of the Word of God found in 1 John 2. Verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Sin's a little word that brings big problems. And if any man sin, do you see that? Then we have an advocate. One who is called along our side to plead our case with the Father. And He says, I want you to be sure and never forget who He is. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation. That's a big legal term word that means simply atonement or appeasement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments. John's pretty blunt, isn't he? To the point. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 7, brethren, write no new commandment unto you, but an old. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness, even as now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Verse 12. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Here's our phrase. I'm interested today. I write unto you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you've known the Father. He mentions it one more time in verse 14. Look how he phrases this text. I've written unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, because you're strong. The Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that we've sensed in our hearts. Thank you for giving us the atmosphere of worship today. Thank you for this family that has sung and has encouraged our hearts. God, we pray you touch the sick in our church, the downtrodden, the weak-minded, the feeble, those that are down in their spirit. I pray you'd help us in the Word of God this morning. Touch all my preacher friends today as they stand to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus. Help our church. Bless this time together. And thank you for the kindness of the people of God. Thank you for Calvary today. Thank you for those that you saved this week in camp. Thank you for the one that surrendered to tell the old, old story. I pray that the blessings of God would be about these young people. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We preached the last time that we were able to stand and preach on the fathers, the church fathers. Here John is using a metaphor relating it to age. He says there are three groups, the fathers, the young men, and the little children. You know, I'm glad this morning that we can all act as little children and have to rely upon our Father. Then in this metaphor, He lets us know there should be a growth period, that we should go not only from little children, but into young men and young women. Matter of fact, in the book of Titus, where Paul was writing this young preacher, he said there is no difference in the women and the men in this organization. They all have to come to Calvary. They're all very needful. We realize that in the offices of the church, it is by a man particular. That's not change. But in the family of God, He's wanting male and female to progress through the ranks with the Spirit of God, to become church fathers and church mothers, to become young men and young ladies from little children. But as we preached on the fathers this morning, I want to bring just a few thoughts about the young men. Notice, if you would, first of all, these young men, they're very dedicated about Christ. He's not talking about just an age group, but He's talking about those that have developed in the things of God. And the young men that He's speaking to here in the Bible, they're very dedicated about Christ. They know what they know, and they hold on firmly to what they hold. They're not easily persuaded. Give us some young men that are not easily persuaded, that they don't shift with every wind of doctrine that blows, but they know in whom they believed, and they are persuaded that He's able to keep that which is committed unto Him against this glorious day. Now, I want to say this morning, if there's ever been a day and an hour when young men need to get a hold of what John is teaching, because they are the church that is coming ahead, not only the little children, but we need young men to progress from that and to be into church fathers. Oh, how we look around today and we see the need. It seems like the church is getting low. The church is getting weak. You can look all around this nation. There's thousands of churches without pastors. There's so many doors that have become padlocked because of the failure of the local body growing the saints of God in spirit and in truth and progressing them into the ranks of the Father. Oh, how we need young men in this day and this hour. I mean, in this culture, the young man now, he gets mad at his wife. He puts his hair up in a man's bun, gets in his electric car and goes to Starbucks and gets him a latte. But honey, I come to tell you today, we need some young men that are rare back and realize that God is good and the Bible is still right. And it doesn't matter what this culture is saying, they're standing on the Word of God. Today, we need some young men. They are very accomplished in the Word. I read this phrase from an old writer. He said, young men in Christ are those that have the most courage. They are very earnest. Yet not, they don't have the experience which the old servants have gotten through the years. They are a middle sort of Christians. They're not so settled as the aged, nor yet altogether weak as babes. They are more exercised with temptations and a life of conflict. They have many rebellious passions to subdue. They very much are irritated by Satan's suggestions and temptations. They often find themselves in great conflicts and battles. These young men that John is writing of, I want you to real briefly watch me. I won't preach long today. In verse number 7, these young men have been graced by the Savior. He uses a Bible word in verse 7 of 1 John 2. He says, brethren. That lets me know that they've been graced by the Savior. By the way, we're saved by grace through faith this morning. Christ died for all. And I sure am glad that He loves sinners this morning. And young men, you ought to be proud. You ought to be thankful that you've been graced by the Savior, that He's seen something in you and seen something in me that nobody else wanted a part of. But Jesus was interested in us. And, oh, they've been graced by the Savior. I want to say, notice now, He says, not only have they been graced by the Savior, their brethren, I'm glad I'm in the family. I'm glad when the family gets together. I'm glad when the family can worship the Father in spirit and in truth this morning. I'm glad we've experienced a little atmosphere of worship today. I'm glad in our church the lights are on. Thank God we got a Bible opened up on the desk. We got old songbooks in the pews. We got an altar that is open. We've got a Savior that loves us. And all these young men, they've been graced by the Savior. Number two, notice in verse 20, you'll see that they have been girded by strength. No longer have they just been graced by the Savior, but look in verse 14, they're girded by strength. Look what it says. He said, I've written unto you young men because ye are strong. It does not mean so much as they're young and they're full of vitality. But it simply means that they've been made strong by the Spirit of God. We must remind ourselves every day, without Him, we can do nothing. And He says they've been girded by strength. Now watch this in verse 20. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. This word unction specifically means a special endowment. A special endowment. Those that are girded by strength, they have an unction. Then look in verse 27. But the anointing which you received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things. And is truth and is no lie. Even He has taught you and shall abide in Him. They're graced by the Savior. They're girded by strength. They are strong. They can do great and mighty exploits for God. They have great visions. They have great desires spiritually. They want to see the people of God progress. There's no jealousy or envy in these young men. They're all going for the honor and the glory of God. I want to say it doesn't matter to me that the men I know, doesn't matter if they're pastoring 15 or they're pastoring 3,000. We're all going for the honor and the glory of God. And there are no big ones and little ones. We need to realize that we need the strength of the Spirit of God in these days and these hours. You see, these young men, they're graced by the Savior. They are girded by strength. Look in verse 14. They're growing by Scripture. He says, I've written unto you fathers because you've known Him that it's from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you're strong. And here it is. And the Word of God abideth in you. They're growing by the Scriptures. You see, these young men have found something out about New Testament living. I want you to give your ear to me for 5 minutes and I'll finish this sermon. And I want you to listen to this growing by the Scripture. First of all, turn with us to Romans 12 and verse number 1. Talking about these young men, Romans 12 and verse number 1, they are growing by the Scriptures. He says, the Word of God is abiding in them. Okay, preacher, what am I to do if I'm growing by the Scripture. Look what Paul writes in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that here it is that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then look what he says. That is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He says it is our reasonable service. He's not asking too much out of us. Talking about growing by the Scripture. Look what also he says. Be not conformed to this world. Don't fit in this world's mold. This world's system is what he's talking about. He's saying be Bible-minded, be heavenly-minded. And he says, first of all, growing in the Scripture, we must realize that it is a reasonable service to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We're bought with a price, young men. God has paid a price to get you and I. He owns us. He's the master. And it's our reasonable service is to try to give ourselves unto the Lord. Today, in this being grown by the Scripture, you see these young men, they have learned how to present their body. Now listen, these texts, they've also learned to lift their eyes. Talking about young men. Psalms 121 and 1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? These young men, they have learned where to lift their eyes. Can I tell you there's no help in this world? But if we lift our eyes toward His world, the Bible says, I'll lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Not only has he learned where to lift his eyes, he's learned where to lean his ears. Matthew 11 and 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, is what Jesus said. He's learned where to lift his eyes. He's learned where to lean his ears. He's learned how to let his mind, in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's not only learned where to lift his eyes, to lean his ears, to let his mind, but he's learned to lower his heart. In Galatians 6 and 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. One of the greatest obstacles that young men face is that of pride. They can do it. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Did you know that the devil put the first person in hell because of pride? That was the first sin that the devil went after. And boy, how he loves to lift us with pride. We've become successful in business, successful in career, and successful in family. And before you know it, the devil will have you lifted with pride. But you better remember where your bread's buttered this morning. For Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. These young men of the faith, they've learned how to lift their eyes, to lean their ears, to let their mind, to lower their heart. But they've also learned to lend their hand. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, listen, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. They've learned to lend their hand. And whatever they do it, they do for the honor and the glory of God. Young men, how we need you to band together and lend your hand for the cause of Christ. Oh, how much more we could get things done if the little children would grow into young men and be stable, be consistent, study the Word of God, raise your families, magnify the Lord, stay faithful to Christ. Oh, how we need young men that will lend their hand, that will lift their eyes, that will lean their ears, that will let their mind, will lower their heart. But in Philippians 2, these young men have learned to load their knees. What are you talking about? In Philippians 2 and 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Oh, how we need to load our knees and realize that God is everything and we're nothing. And He's worthy of all of our honor and all of our praise. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to bow my knee to Him. You will one day. But it'll be too late then. Do y'all remember that morning my friend from Mount Airy, North Carolina, Brother Larry Stone, was preaching? I'd preached this text over and over. Heard so many preachers preach the text of David and Goliath. Well, I'll never forget that morning. He had that sling going around and he let that stone go. The Bible said that it sunk right in the giant's forehead. And the Bible said this for a purpose. Did it this morning. He fell forward. Every knee shall bow. Oh, you may be on a high horse this morning. You may think you'll do fine without the God of this Bible. But honey, there's coming a day that every knee's going to bow. Give Him the honor and the glory and call Him out King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now think I'll do my part now. I'm going to tell you there's nobody like Jesus. And I bless Him and I praise Him for how good He's been to us. Oh, how we need young men that will simply load their knees in submission to Christ. Then lastly, not only to lift their eyes, to lean their ears, to let their mind and lower their heart and lend their hand and load their knees, but lastly, line up their feet. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. That's my opinion, but his writings are very similar to the other epistles. But I can tell you for sure who I know who wrote it. God wrote it. And this is what He said. To line up their feet. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, give us some young men. They're graced by the Savior. They're girded by strength. They're growing by Scripture. But lastly, look what He said in verse 14. They're gallant over Satan. Gallant over Satan. What do you mean, preacher? Look back at that text, verse 14. Last place I go, He said, because you're strong and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You know something, church? The devil is so real in his temptations and his vices. And the devil is very good at what he does. He's been at it a long time. We're no match for the devil.
But my Bible says this, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I sure am glad there's some young men that's been gallant over Satan. They've won many battles. They've overcome him. And young men, I want to say something to you today. Keep on loving Jesus. Have a vision about yourself that this time is not standing still. It's nearly the 4th of July. Wasn't long ago we had a Christmas tree lit in our sanctuary. Time is flying. It wasn't but a few years ago that me and my wife were putting our children in a van, going into Alabama, preaching at our first church in car seats, taking them with us. And now we have grandchildren. It's just flash like this. Brother Daniel, it was just a few years ago that there was a group of people met in a storefront building in front of a Southern lady. As we started this ministry together in our homes in that little simple dress shop, I look back and I think, Lord, where is time gone? I look around now, I'm an older man. How we need young men to get a hold of this vision. Listen to me, when we all leave out of this place and you're left here, who's going to carry on old-time religion? Who's going to keep the doors open and the altars open? Who's going to be sure there's the right kind of Bible in the pulpit when I'm dead and gone? Who's going to stand up and be a young man to turn into a father? Who's going to play instruments when we've gone to heaven? Who's going to lead singing? Who's going to lead choir? We better let this message sink in our hearts. God is wanting to do something with these people that this world knows little about this morning. May the Lord give us young men strong in the Lord. Some Davids. Some Josephs, some of those that people would think so unlikely to be. You may be here today and you've never been saved. It'd be a good morning to get saved. But my heart is really pressed in this area today. Just to simply tell you this, in this metaphor, there's little children. Then we are to progress into young men. Then we are to progress into church fathers. Thank God for the church fathers that have invested in me. Do y'all remember Brother Charles Worley that came and preached here two camp meetings ago? He's an elderly man. Many of you loved him. Christy, he stayed over at your place that week. There was a man texted me yesterday and said he had crossed over the river. Boy, I can see him right now, Brother Randall. I got a picture in my phone. Only about 8 weeks ago, I preached a meeting in the Carolinas. He is there. Had his arm around me. You know what he said? He said, how's them sweet people you got? I said, oh, they're good, preacher. He said, how's that little old wife of yours? I said, she's good. He said, I want to come back to y'all's church and preach. I said, I want you to. He'd look at me and he'd say, you listen to me, young man. You keep preaching this Bible that God's blessed you all these years with. I went to an older man in Mount Airy. I think he's 90 years old. I'm going to be real, real honest with you this morning what I said. Brother David, he'd been there about four nights with me and I sat down with him that last night. I said, sir, I so respect you. I want to ask you, is there anything that would help me to do different? He put his hand on my thing. He said, son, just keep doing what you're doing. Can I tell you this morning, I'm thankful for the fathers of our faith that has walked through our lives and has impacted us. Oh, how we need people to progress. Men and ladies in the family of God. Father, I love you today. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I thank you for the fathers that you've allowed my path to cross.
God, help our young men. Help them to stay strong and overcome the wicked one. Help them, O God, to stay true to You today. Lord, I love You and I thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for these that have come before us to lay the pathway, the groundwork. May we carry on Your great work. Would You put in the hearts of these people to grow in the Scripture, be grounded and settled in Your Word. And we love You and we thank You today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.